Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Maddie, I just pulled up the weather for Ocean City over the weekend.
Oh, yeah, no, I've checked as well.
Yeah, a high of 76 and rainy.
Woo!
So bring your sunblock.
I'll be able to social distance inside because nobody else will be there. It'll be raining.
And then I wrote in all caps, I strongly recommend you immediately contact your local police, fire department, or National Guard unit to help you dispose of the live munitions in your basement.
Oh, my
That's
God.
That's why you got the gig.
If you have any other questions,
That's
you know,
why you
please
got the
call
gig.
Me. Here's my number. Love, Kira.
Now, did you save and, that as a form letter for the future?
Absolutely. So
for any ordinance that comes in.
Ordinance!
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
For those of us that are joining us live, let me be the first one to say good morning. Might want to plug in my... You know what?
What's that?
You know, sometimes I'm really mad at myself.
No,
sometimes
you mustn't be. You mustn't be.
Sometimes mustn't I'm be. Really pissed at myself.
There's no, you mustn't be. I mean, you know, there's do. So much things. Too many
Can
things.
Can I blame you? Can I blame
yeah,
you?
Of course.
For having to send things twice sometimes, and then I have to load them again, and
right.
they're not in there. So I was going to start with that great tape from the guy, the guitar player for
Steve Lukather.
Toto. And I was going to say good morning.
Good morning!
Good morning, everybody. What if Kathleen Turner was talking to him?
Oh.
Good morning.
Good morning!
That would be a movie I'd watch.
Right now, would you like to try to step on it a third time? That's just, I'm just curious about that. Let's try it one more time. Here we go.
Good morning.
Good morning!
That's what I was trying to do.
I didn't morning. Step on it. Good morning.
What's that? Well, there's a delay between you and me, so I don't know whether that's the case. It is the Friday version of the Mike O'Mara Show. Greetings to you, one and all. We are joined again by our good friend Maddie Masiello, who looks
Hello.
Like she's going to court today.
No.
Like maybe you got it. Well, are you arguing some cases today before the Supreme Court? What's
it is
going
always,
on?
I run cold as it is, but it is always so cold in the studio. And then I run out of like clean sweaters. So this was what was left of my laundry.
Right. I was discussing, because we rarely do small talk with the three of us. It's all about the show and what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I had referenced the weather, just assuming based on the weather up here that you were experiencing a heat wave down in the nation's capital. Rob tells me that's not necessarily the case, that you're getting torrential rainfall now in
yes,
the nation's capital.
It's been rainy all week, and I think rain all through the weekend as well. Mm-hmm. There was flash flood alerts last night. I mean, we're all in danger of floods.
All right, so I didn't know that. So, but it's not hot. Right?
No, it's mungy.
It's
exactly
humid.
It's exactly why you hate this area, Mike, because
okay.
it's the dead of August. It's going to be like 82 and fully saturated air.
Yeah.
That's, you got to chew
right,
it before you
not,
breathe it.
But for D.C. in August, 82,
I'll
not
take
all
it's not
that
oppressive.
Bad.
No.
See,
no.
I mean, you might be cooler than we are. I mean, you know, up here, I know we had the 90s yesterday in interior portions of the great state of Maine. It got hot. It got real hot yesterday. And so,
now, that's crazy, because you know, I know that in August, in the evening, sometimes it's cool enough in Maine to have a fire. I
yeah,
mean, it
used
stays...
To be.
Well, I mean, it happened once or twice when we were up there in July.
It's something where, and I hate talking about the weather because it's such small talk, but I just like to know the areas of the country where we are heard and what's going on. So anyway, let's dispense with that and
yes.
get right to it, ladies and gentlemen, and bring in our talking head. Let me get the bio here. It's Friday. That means we've skipped it a couple of weeks because we've had guests on, but we're
right.
back to our talking head. By the way, if you want to be a talking head on the show and join us for a Zoom call, you contact Rob. What, is that a cat? The cat was
oh no!
The cat was scratching that looked like it was having an effing seizure and now I'm looking at the cat. Well, we'll get to the cat in a sec. Jesus. The cat's tail is there. We welcome our talking head. If you want to be a talking head, Rob, they send it to you, right? Talking
exactly.
Head, Rob's
Rob. Rob at MikeOMaraShow.com. Rob with Very two good. B's at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Let's welcome Kira Schuster. Kira is a 25-plus year listener from Miami. Down in my part of the world, who she now lives in Alexandria, Virginia. She was introduced to the show by her now husband, Mike Sheinberg, and she's been married 21 years. I always love that accomplishment.
That's nice.
Her son is Avi. Is that right, Kira?
Correct.
It's Avi, 17. He wants to intern at Podcast Village for TMOS. God, do I miss...
Me too.
Interns with the pandemic. Oh, my God. There's so many things we don't even take note of when it comes to what we've missed out on. We've missed out on a youth movement, a full year of great kids that come into our Podcast Village studios. Two cats. Which one was the orange one that we just saw? Was that Steve or was that Lexi?
That was Steve.
I thought
it was
Steve.
Yeah, but she's moved on. Steve... I just wanted to say hi, and now she may or may not be back. I don't know.
And Lexi the cat, Lexi the cat is 21 years old also.
Wow. Yeah,
so you've had Lexi.
And she's sleeping across the room.
So you've had Lexi as long as you've been married to Mike Sheinberg.
Not exactly. We got Lexi a few years later. We took her in from a friend who couldn't have her anymore. So
okay.
So you used cat.
She has listened to literally every regular episode of our podcast. In 2015, she was an original Doppel winner in the 12 Days of Fruitcakes. Oh, you are a fan of the show. God bless you. You're the kind of person that keeps this engine going. I love you already. You may remember her victory. Rob, actually, you remembered her victory?
100% she should tell the story because I didn't realize the situation she was in when she won the fruitcake. Remember, we had the policy you either had to answer or have your voicemail set saying that you won the fruitcake, right?
So, wait a minute. I got down to the bottom of your bio. You are a curator at the United States Holocaust Museum. What an amazing, amazing job to do. That's right here. By the way, if you are going to Washington, D.C., it's not even... You can't describe the experience, but everybody needs to have it. There are two places. I never mentioned the Holocaust Museum. I'm going to add it to my list. I always say, if you're coming to D.C., everybody wants to see the Lincoln Memorial. Mm-hmm. You want to see the Washington Monument. You want to see that. I've always said that the memory of the Vietnam Memorial is something I think everybody should experience one time. And I also think you should go to Arlington Cemetery. Yeah. Let me add to the list the United States Holocaust Museum, which is... it'll just give you a sense of that. I think the older I get, the more I become acutely aware, especially with what I've been reading this summer. I get a sense of time passing and memory softening, and that's not a cool feeling when you talk about 6 million people being murdered, and we have to remember and keep their memories alive. That's incredible. That stopped me in my tracks, because I just finished maybe a month ago, The Tattooist of Auschwitz, which is an amazing, amazing book written, a novel really written based on a true story by this New Zealand author who interviewed a camp survivor at Auschwitz. Anyway, it's great to welcome you, Kira Schuster. I didn't want to get all serious at the beginning, but man, oh man, I'm so incredibly acutely aware with the reading I've been doing. Just seems everything that's come my way. And for some reason, in our troubled times, I think we have to guard against just complacency and people being quiet and not speaking up.
And
we're
perhaps
in that kind of world right now.
Repetition.
Yeah.
Scary.
A little scary. But welcome to the show. And that, how did you, I'll ask you right off to that, how did you get your job at the Holocaust Museum? Have you been in museums prior to that?
Sort of. So I graduated college in 94 and moved to DC literally a week after graduation to do an internship at the Smithsonian American History Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And supposed to go on to graduate school to get my master's in museum studies. But while I was there, I found out about a job opportunity at the Holocaust Museum working with their collection. They were looking for someone to help with their brand new DOS database system. And when I tell kids, they know what I'm talking about, but it was a contract position. And I thought, you know, I have always had an interest in the subject matter. I've been studying the Holocaust since I was pretty much in, I think the first time I learned about it was fourth grade. Went to Poland when I was in high school. So I'm very connected to the history personally, and thought it was a good opportunity. And my father's famous last words were, oh, that'll be good. You'll take the contract for 2 or 3 years, then you'll go back to grad school.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned, it's interesting you mentioned contract work. I'm sorry about the delay, but it's interesting you mentioned contract work, because my daughter, who is in archaeology and graduated from the University of Mary Washington, she has been without a contract. I think hers ended at the beginning of August. And so she does the contract work, too. So I understand what you're talking about. Yeah. When you talk about you get a gig, 8 months, you got to get another gig, another 8 months. And it's a little frustrating. But go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah, no, I was on contract for about, my dad said 2 or 3 years, and then you'll go back to grad school. But they kept renewing my contract. And eventually I got hired to a permanent position as the curatorial assistant. And I worked my way up. And 25 years later, I'm still there. And I never made it back to grad school. But my father did tell me a few years ago he's okay with that. So,
okay, that's not too late. You can always go back to school.
I tried to, and I don't mean to get serious, but
did that this summer.
I didn't know that you worked there, and I think that you know, as far as the it says here, ask about donations that you have been offered. Now, when you're talking about donations, you're talking about people that have donated to the museum, or people that have actually had suggestions of what could be put in the museum. What is what is
both,
that about?
So, as a curator, my primary job is to identify and collect materials and objects for our permanent collection. So I get to see. I love it because I get to like go into people's homes and dig through all their stuff and be super nosy and ask them all these questions and then tell the whole world what I learned. It's awesome. And people tend to think we're a lot like Indiana Jones, you know, traveling the world. And I always joke, I'm the only thing I have in common with him is I don't like snakes and I don't like Nazis. But sitting in my office, although I do get, we used to be able to travel, but we acquire our little group of curators. We acquire on average 1 to 2 new collections a day. Wow. And that is no not idea. Business days. And a collection can be a single tiny object like a diamond ring or a coin or a button or a photo, or it could be boxes and boxes of material. So the largest collection I personally acquired was about, it was an entire storage unit. It was about 200 moving boxes of material. The last collection I physically had my hands on before the shutdown was someone had shipped us 3 moving boxes worth of material from a Holocaust survivor's apartment who had recently passed away. They literally packed her entire apartment into these boxes and sent it. So my colleague and I were digging through trying to figure out what the collection would be. So hopefully those boxes are still in my office because I haven't been there for a few months.
When you get a shipment like that and you realize that the ties to that era are passing away day by day as it goes. And we spoke yesterday briefly when we did a Zoom test, and I asked you if, because of the dark nature of the topic that you deal with on a daily basis, is sad, but you had such a positive outlook. Is it because you're keeping these memories alive?
That's a lot of it. I mean, I told you yesterday, I love my job. I have like the coolest job in the world. I get to meet the most amazing people with the most inspiring stories. I do a lot of work also with veterans as well. And I know Mike, your father, is a veteran. I love to hear you talk about him, especially because I usually listen when I'm at work. So, you know, I have this extra meaning to it. But one of my pet projects that I've been working on for about 10 years now is a group of American prisoners of war who were pulled out of their POW camp and sent to a slave labor camp that was a subcamp of Buchenwald. So I've really gotten to know a lot of those men very, you know, intimately, personally, you know, kept in touch with their children, their wives. And some of the survivors are just the most amazing people. There's one woman who is a survivor of Auschwitz who volunteers with us. Her name is Ruth. Tiny little thing, totally outspoken. And I love it when she just comes into my office and gives me a hard time because that's tip. And I said to her one day, I want to be you when I grow up. And she's like, ugh, why would you want that? I survived Auschwitz. You don't want to go through that. And it is an awesome responsibility for us, for all of us. It's, I mean, I'm not the only one who's worked there. Everyone in my, in our department, we've all, our newest staff person's been with us for 5 years. Everyone else has been there decades. And the mission of the museum is so important. And it really is an awesome responsibility because for a lot of these families and for the survivors, you know, this is all they have from that time. And they're entrusting us not only with the physical objects to preserve those for future generations, but to preserve their stories as well. So we can continue to tell them and educate the general public and others in future generations. And that's really, I mean, that's an awesome responsibility we take very, very seriously. But then
I wanted to ask you a difficult question because I remember mm-hmm. my first time, maybe my only time. I've been twice to the Holocaust Museum. I was overwhelmed when I saw it. A lot of people, I remember when the museum was first built and opened, that people described just how overwhelming it truly is. My question to you would be, working in that environment, and being part of that every day, have there been moments in your history where you just came home and you just were, there was a particular memento, an artifact that just was overwhelmingly, because the stories are just, it's astonishing. It really is.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say a few times a year, there's that day where you come home from work and I just would like grab my son or melt in a puddle on the couch to my husband. But keep in mind, I'm not going through the exhibition every day. You know, it's, so there's that. I do spend a lot of my time upstairs. Our offices are on the fifth floor above the exhibition space. We're right off the museum's library. So we are in a little bit of a bubble, but, there's some stories that are just, you know, a total punch in the gut. Yeah. It became a little bit harder after I became a parent, because yeah. I was for a while the only one who didn't have a child. And, we were actually working on an exhibit on children who survived in hiding during the Holocaust during my pregnancy. And my colleague of that exhibit was like, "You don't understand, you're not a mom." And I'm like, "But I'm an empathetic person. Of course I understand." And then after I had the baby, I was just like, "Oh my God, it's a totally different level of understanding."
It is. Yeah.
But for me, one day that really, like the last time this happened was, we have the shoes that are on loan to us and that are on display. And we took them off exhibit so they could be cleaned. And we also, I don't think people realize, we rotate the objects in the exhibition on a regular basis.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. So we had taken the shoes off display for cleaning. I think they also needed to do some repair work on the cases, whatever. So we had moved all the shoes to our offsite facility, and they needed help cleaning the shoes. And you literally are handling every shoe individually as you're cleaning it off and logging it in. And the first time I did that, it was just like soul crushing, because you start overthinking, you know, who did this belong to?
Boy.
And what happened to them? And it's in terrible condition. And eventually my colleague and I, you know, you got into a rhythm of it. We started chit-chatting and gossiping, and it's just, then you get into the flow of the work. But personally, I do have a very dark sense of humor, which helps.
That does. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I actually listen to the show usually when I'm sitting in my office at the end of the day, and I'll have my headphones in and I'll be doing my data entry, start giggling. And then the other curators are like, what is going on? Who are you? What are you listening to? So that helps, you know. And honestly, I try to look at the positive and not the negative. So I do try to look at towards the light. You know, I'm dealing with survivors. I'm here to tell their story. They're able to tell me their story. I'm able to carry that for them. And so, I tend to try to focus on that a lot, and that really helps.
I didn't realize.
Rob, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rob.
I was going to say, I didn't realize that it was an organic changing exhibit, but that makes sense when you're talking about you're getting two donations a day. Have you ever been offered anything that you did not accept?
Oh, all the time. And some of those calls are my favorite ones. A lot of it is, you know, I kind of have a form letter for everything. We get offered a lot of Nazi war booty that soldiers brought home with them because it was easy to bring home, right? So
right.
Not yeah. In fact, this morning I responded to an email about daggers. Yesterday it was Nazi flags. You know, it's a lot of the same stuff, and people all have the same reaction. You know, I'm horrified to have it in my house. I don't want it to fall into the wrong hands. I'm sick that I have this. What do I do with it? Unfortunately, we can't take all of it, but we do refer people to other museums if it's not the right fit for our institution. So we're happy to talk to everybody. We just can't take everything.
The last question I want to ask you about the, I know because I'm working off memory here, but you were talking specifically about shoes. I believe there was a story recently that broke about some of these shoes having notes in the bottom. Do you know what I'm talking about with the where there was written material in the bottom of a shoe hidden in the shoe?
Wow.
Yeah. So they I think it was definitely at the Auschwitz Memorial in Poland. They were also doing conservation work on the shoes in their collection. And as they were doing that work, they found notes that had been hidden in some of the shoes there.
Yeah.
Amazing. But I haven't had that experience. And the shoes that we have on exhibit that you see on display are actually on loan to us from the Majdanek Memorial in Poland. So those aren't part of our permanent collection.
When we talk about the shoes, I think I want to point out to everybody that when we're talking about shoes, we're not talking about a display case with a pair of shoes. What we're talking about is volume. We're talking about the volume, and it is in my opinion, the most moving experience when it is something that when you see back in, if you know anything about the Holocaust, the warehouses that were used to steal from people and pile up all of their belongings, their shoes, their eyeglasses, their dentures, specifically gold was removed from teeth over there. Just astounding. This is why I'll tell you something. When I had this idea to do the talking head, to get people's stories that listen to this show, it is it's just fantastic and fascinating to do that. And really, it's not just a museum when you're talking about the Holocaust Museum. You're talking about something that people need to see to maintain that statement of never again, because there's genocide. There have been many issues of genocide all over the world since the Holocaust, and it's something we need to guard against, because the cowardice of that, I still don't get, even when I'm talking about it, and I'm sorry to, but for our listeners, I'm sorry, but this is not the direction I expected to go, but I feel strongly about it. And I find myself, and I don't know if anybody else, when they think about it, when you read about it or you hear a story about it, since I've read an awful lot this summer about the Holocaust, I find myself having unbelievably weird thoughts as to why. You can be scratching your earlobe and just you go, this is flesh and bone. This is how could this is a weird thought that I'm having. I'm just going to put it out there. But to have this thought of how people
not to
can
think about it, otherwise I wouldn't be able to function in my job.
The logic doesn't exist to me on any when you're talking about on an industrial level of doing this. I'll never wrap my head around it. But I tell you, We're human beings, and we have to guard against that because it happened. And I think if it happened once, it could happen again. And you have to be wary of this stuff. I think you're doing phenomenal work, and you're to be congratulated, and everybody at the Holocaust Museum. And if you ever need anybody over there, I got a 24-year-old who's floating around, probably looking for work, and she's just down the road in Maryland. So, Kira, if you need anybody to get in there, you know, please let's exchange numbers. I think she'd probably be
absolutely a good
fit.
If you decide to come next time you come to DC, it'll be my honor to take you through. But if I may, Mike, to share one story of a favorite artifact that I was offered that I did. Yes. Not except for the collection, just to lighten the mood a little bit. I get a lot of random emails from people. My contact information's on our website, so I tend to get the randos. And a woman had emailed into the museum. Her grandfather was a veteran. He had recently been moved to a nursing home, so they were cleaning out his house and getting it ready for sale. And she said, dear Holocaust Museum, she explains all this. And she said, I found in his basement a U.S. Army issue smoke grenade, serial number, blah, 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 still in the original packaging with a pin still in it. Oh, but wait. If the museum is interested in having this for your collection, please let me know. And I'll give it to my daughter to take on the bus when her Girl Scout troop comes to visit. So as much as I have a form letter for everything, I do not have a form letter for that. And I couldn't call her because she didn't include her phone number in the email. So I immediately wrote her back you know, dear Ms. So-and-so, thank you so much for reaching out to us, form letter, you know, this is what we collect. I'm so sorry we're not able to accept your generous offer of the smoke grenade for our permanent collection, but it is out of scope. And then I wrote in all caps, I strongly recommend you immediately contact your local police, fire department, or National Guard unit to help you dispose of the live munitions in your basement. Hey.
Oh my God.
That's why you got the gig.
If you have any other questions,
that's
you know,
why you
please
got
call
the gig.
Me. Here's my number. Love, Kira.
Now, did you save that as a form letter for the future?
Absolutely. So
for any ordinance that comes in.
Ordinance. Oh, God.
All I could do was wait and see if she responds, right? So I came home from work that night and, you know, we're at dinner, you know, how was your day? And my husband talks about his work at you know, doing reproductive justice. And I'm talking about the Holocaust. And I was like, you won't get this email, right? And so we were just waiting here. You can hear on the news, like, bus full of Girl Scouts explodes on Pennsylvania Turnpike.
Oh, God. Oh,
Holocaust
my
Museum.
God.
Or even worse, you've been to the museum or a federal building, you have to go through security to get in. So it's,
right.
You know, I could imagine sitting in my office drinking my morning coffee and then all of a sudden the building goes into lockdown because there's this Girl Scout with her grenade and a box of paper. I'm here to see Kira. Right?
Rogue Girl Scout tries to smuggle smoke bomb into Holocaust Museum.
And that she says, I came to see Kira.
Yeah, Kira. So thankfully, the next day, it was like later in the morning, it was probably like 10:30, 11 o'clock. I finally get a reply from this woman. Dear Ms. Schuster, thank you so much for your prompt reply. I took your advice and I called the fire department and they sent out the bomb squad. And my hand to God, she wrote, there was a whole to do. Wow.
People don't get it. People don't get it. Well, Kira,
I actually have that email hanging in my office on my wall.
Oh my God.
You know, with some of the crazier things we've been offered hanging in a place of honor in my office. So I have rocks that people have sent. I have a sad clown painting that we got from somewhere. So it's days
well,
like
you're
that,
a natural. You are a natural. This was a pleasant surprise for me, and we loved having you on. It was phenomenal, and really, we have our first talking head that I'm going to rebook on the show. And if you ever want to come on and talk about anything regarding the Holocaust Museum or any of the issues that you deal with that, I'd love to have you on again. You're terrific. Rob, you wanted to say something?
I'm sorry. Can you believe the first thing she said when we did our Zoom test yesterday? She says, "I'm sorry, but I don't have any roaches."
I am sorry.
we're on a roll with these talking heads.
Yeah.
I'm beginning to, you know, feel sorry for the people that are coming afterwards. You know, how do you beat this? But Kira, for you and I guess your husband Mike was the one who turned you onto the show, so we got to give Mike a thank you too. Is he working from home?
He's actually sitting right on the other side of my computer.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Mike's watching the whole thing. That's all he gets. Anyway, and to your son, Avi, and also Steve and Lexi, the cats. God bless you all. And congratulations on the great work you were doing. That was an educational and entertaining call. Mm-hmm. And
anytime.
And thanks. I have to tell you, you know, when Oscar gets back, I'll tip a hand here. A little fruitcake knowledge might be coming down the road. So be aware
What's
of
this?
That.
What's this?
Well, I'm sorry he got fired. So I hope he's able to come back.
Yeah, we hope so. Well,
people
we'll see
need
what happens
to be generous.
Today.
Yeah, people
yes,
need to be
right.
generous.
Thank you, Kira. And thanks for listening to the show. And we will start the festivities right after this, everybody.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Which is the car?
The car?
Blocking the drive.
Fine. It's beauty, isn't it? Where'd I leave my drink, Archie? Ah.
How do you do, Mrs. Leach? I'm Harvey Manfringenson. I'm with the CIA.
CIA?
That's correct, ma'am. Just telling your husband here before I had to go to your beautiful bathroom. We've got a high-ranking KGB defector in a safe house near here. We're debriefing him as of now, and we're just checking all the houses in the neighborhood.
For what?
For KGB.
Is there any danger?
No. We just want to keep everyone informed. Archie, thanks for the drink. Sorry to have troubled you folks. I'll see myself out.
Keep everyone informed?
So there's no panic, ma'am.
But isn't it a secret?
You have no idea how secret.
Well, why are you telling everyone?
It's a smokescreen.
What?
Double bluff. Look, you obviously don't know anything about intelligence work, lady. It's an XK Red 27 technique.
My father was in the Secret Service, Mr. Manfred Jinsengen, and I know perfectly well that you don't keep the general public informed when you are debriefing KGB defectors in a safe house.
Oh, you don't, huh?
Not unless you're congenitally insane or irretrievably stupid, no.
Don't call me stupid.
Why on earth not?
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you? Well, would you like to know where you'd be without us, the old U.S. of A, to protect you? I'll tell you. The smallest f***ing province in the Russian Empire. That's what. So don't call me stupid, lady. Just thank me.
Well, thank you for popping in and protecting us.
If it wasn't for us, you'd all be speaking German. Singing Deutschland, Deutschland, Überall.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show.
Glad to have you along on a Friday.
From Beargrass, North Carolina, Myersville, Maryland, Port Bolivar, Texas, Rutgersville, Virginia, Central South Carolina. Is that in the middle of the state?
Actually, it's far to the left, amazingly.
Islamabad, Pakistan, also the Mike O'Mara Show is on now. And brought to you by our favorite bed in the world, Sleep Number. Right now, quality sleep, more important than ever. Not only is it a natural immunity booster, but it also helps with energy and recovery. Either I have a clear conscience or I have a great bed. Because I put I close my eyes and I'm out.
Bingo. Gone?
Like, bam. Boom. Right away. That's it. Now, the problem is, when you get to be my age, you know... You wake up at 4:30 because you got a... Other than that, though, I've got the perfect bed. It's a
Sleep Number bed. A little older and then you don't wake up at all. That's sad, too.
That's very sad, but not with a Sleep Number bed. I'll live forever. Better sleep prepares you to be more balanced emotionally. That's true. Sleep Number to the rescue. From feather soft to super firm, you can adjust each side of a Sleep Number bed to your Sleep Number setting so it's just right for both of you. Quality sleep is important to your wellness, and with the innovations and performance of Sleep Number beds, you'll be at your best. My Sleep Number setting is an 85. Carla's a 65. We love that setting. I don't recommend my setting for you because you have to get your own. That's what you can do with a Sleep
Number
bed.
That's the fun, and you can change. You can change every night and have fun with it.
It's the best. Come in during the biggest sale of the year when all beds are on sale for a limited time. Save 50% on a Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. Shop your way at a Sleep Number store, online at sleepnumber.com/TMOS or by chat. Chatting is nice. Just make sure they know that Mike O'Mara sent you. So that's it.
Chatting is
nice. And because,
sorry,
everything's prepared. We got to get to it. We got to get to the mailbag because we haven't done it. And Kira Schuster was fantabulous. I'm going to give you, even though you might not deserve credit, I'm giving you credit for these selections.
Oh, thank you.
For these magnificent talking heads. I did not, when I started this, it was simply a way to make the listeners feel like they're a part of things. I didn't know you were going to bring phenomenally interesting people with roaches and great museum gigs. And by the way, all of them are so good at being on the show. I'm just blown away. Kira Schuster was phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
And does such nice
Proud
work.
To have her as a listener.
Yeah, it was very cool. A 25-year listener. Love it.
That's awesome. Let's get right to it. The mailbag tighter and brighter for your listening pleasure. All right, let's get right to it. We're supposed to do it on Tuesday, but we apologize. Hey, this is Sam from Spokane, Washington. Speaking of Boston Terriers and Mike's fear of not being loved. That's a good start. I felt the same way about our Boston Terrier when she was a puppy. He couldn't get enough of my wife, but as he grew, we became the best of friends. Keep your head up, old chap. You're right, Sam Howard. I have to tell you, first of all, this dog is growing like a weed. I put it on my show prep today. Where did I write about Winslow? The Winslow update. He's bigger than I thought he'd be. And he is stronger
than I
thought he'd be.
75 pounds now?
He's growing so rapidly, and they're like T-shirts when you come to Boston Terriers, at least what Carla says. They come in small, medium, and large.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, they vary in size. And also, Carla's very aware of his diet so far because she thinks that she just wanted him to get fat. And then she showed me a bunch of fat Boston Terriers.
Hold on a second.
Well, I mean, with his predisposition to gas, the last thing you want is for him to be, You don't want him to be fat.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No.
I get in the habit of reading one thing and then throwing away. I would have thrown away two messages on our mailbag. Next letter says, I just wanted to send a note to let you know that Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada is pleased to check in. Cole Harbour, downtown Vancouver.
Nice.
Save that for your files, Rob.
Yes, of course.
I am extremely happy to have found Mike, Rob, and new friends after losing touch in the 2000s via 100.7 FM KQBZ, The Buzz, in Seattle. The station became The Wolf. Bastards. started to play country music, and you were gone. Well, that's
the
what
wolf.
Kills yeah. radio personalities, format yeah. flips. Been a victim of many of those. Mm-hmm. I am grateful to find you folks again, and thank you kindly for all you do, especially in this weird and challenging time. Keep masking up, taking care of one another, and please quit sucking. Best, Kyle. Thank you for discovering us again,
yes.
Kyle. We
thank
appreciate
you, Kyle.
It. Next letter says, I went to North Cambria, Pennsylvania over the week. You know where that is, right? Don't you
yeah,
know? Isn't that your stomping grounds up there?
Just above South Cambria.
Thank you, Rob.
Uh-huh.
I went to North Cambria, Pennsylvania over the weekend for a family thing. On the way, I drove by Gallatin Township. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. I immediately read the name in the Jerry Lewis voice. Gallatin Slinden. You guys have ruined me. Gallatin Slinden. Louis Warren.
I like to picture him. Good morning.
It's Louis Warren. Hi.
I like to picture him doing that by himself in his car. Just like, Gallatin.
Yeah. Seriously, this is how detail will go on this one.
Yeah.
If you picture him, and I picture him, dude, put the video on where he's doing that in his car, and then they just play it for you and me. What's that? Gallatin, Pennsylvania. Gallatin Township.
Gallatin.
Gallatin.
All right, moving right along. Hey, guys, I love the show. During your hilarious conversation regarding Rob's father's horny Facebook proclivities, I was moved to check out his page.
Oh, no.
Clicking on his likes selection reveals a gallery of pages whose images are nearly indistinguishable from Pornhub. If you haven't seen, please to be checking that out. This is on his Facebook.
I didn't know that if you went to someone's Facebook page and clicked, you can see all the things they've liked, like all their pages. And my father's, it really looks like they're going to be checking a crawl space soon. I was thrown.
How do you really? I never know how you really feel because you always the only thing you ever say is relax, Pop. That's what you say.
Well,
you're
I
not,
think that I'm a live and let live type of guy. And oh, by the way, speaking of my father, yesterday my mom called me and said, "Do you know what happened?" I said, "What?" She says, 50 years ago, me and Bob, our golden anniversary. So if my parents had stayed together, yesterday would have been their 50th anniversary. And she
really?
Actually took the time to text my father, waiting on a reply. No,
did she mention that to you? Seriously?
Did she
mention
that to you? And my reply to her was,
father. God,
my reply was, yeah, maybe you should have stuck it out. But as far as my father's proclivities, as this guy says, my father can do whatever he wants. It's when he comments and is a little too forward with it that it troubles me. That's when he needs to relax. I mean, look at all the stuff you want to do.
I'm going down 20 hours ago. Nice big picture of Mickey Mantle.
See?
That's a perfectly there, iconic cool. And he just has it up there. So there, we're going to leave it at that. I'm going to back off your old man today
good.
With the
he
horny.
He saw the Mick play. You know that? He did.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's terrific. The Speewax are a hearty brew. Thanks for the laugh. Hank Upton, Washington, D.C. Next letter says, hey, Mike and the gang. Hey, Mike and the gang. This COVID-19 situation sucks, and we're all having different summers than we were accustomed to. In addition to that, we're all missing out on the annual summer tradition of the National Consciousness Designating a Song of the Summer. What
yeah.
does that mean? What?
Because every year they usually determine like what a song of the summer is. I believe.
Okay. All right.
Last year was Despacito. Was that last year or 2 years ago?
Just like 2 years ago.
Okay. But that was the really drop dead song of the summer because it was everywhere. But this year, because we're not out frolicking, I don't think there's going to be a song of the summer.
No. Rob, it says, as the biggest musicologist on the show, what is 2020's song of the summer? Do you have one that you'd like to play for?
Actually, I did a little research on what are the top candidates, and the one I like is actually, this one is by Harry Styles. I like Harry Styles. I bought his album. This is called Watermelon Sugar.
Maddie, is that an approval nod?
Absolutely. I love Harry Styles.
Oh, my
God. If he came on a show, I could never produce it.
Really?
Yes. Oh, my God.
You're going to have to get over that. Grab a get someday that's going to make you all, you know, bubbly.
But this is definitely, I think, it's got a good summertime feel to it.
Totally. Breathe me out. I don't
know if I could ever go without. But Maddie, do you have any other
self-indulgent crap?
I have the top five picks for the song of the summer, and I'm curious if you were to name one, if it would be one of the top five.
I could not tell you. I have no idea. Maybe, I mean, I know Cardi B just came out with a song. That might become the song of the summer.
But. Okay. Cardi B. Miley Cyrus actually released a song yesterday.
Are you doing a music segment right now? Are you fumbling through a music segment or what?
Not really.
Are we just
really
playing the Harry Styles?
But the other song...
You look like you're reaching to play songs. I'm trying to figure out what's going on with the show right now.
Well, what I have is I have five songs that are likely to be the song of the summer, and I was curious if Maddie were to pick one. Okay, this is Rockstar. Rockstar.
All right, can I buzz when? Can I make the calls
of course,
on these?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. I like this one. This is by a band that I like called Haim. It's called Gasoline.
No.
Okay. We've already heard Harry Styles. What about Lady Gaga? I didn't ask for a free with Ariana Grande. I only asked you to show me a real good. You know hard what? To hate her.
But here's the thing. This is when I hit the song. No waiting.
Yeah.
No waiting. Diving right into the song. Mm-hmm. Like not allowing me to hit the buzzer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
This is a close second for me to the watermelon song.
Such a fan. I'm still such a fan. You know? Does that make me an old fart, Maddie? This is the only one that I've picked.
But Lady
Gaga,
like, just objectively, has a great voice and a great range. So you can't.
Incredible. Yeah. I mean, buzzing out Lady Gaga would make me anti-music.
How were you with her in A Star Is Born?
I loved it. I thought she was terrific. I thought she could act too. There's no surprise that she could. I mean, when you go back and you look at the old crooners, the Dean Martin, the Frank Sinatras, and stuff like that, they could act too. They were just trained to be performers. They did everything. They worked their asses off. I get that vibe with Lady Gaga. Like when she's got a natural talent, but I think she's also worked really hard, and she worked really hard. By the way, is she no, she's not, because now what's his name is taking up with Jennifer Garner. Jennifer Garner, it was seen with Bradley Cooper. Remember, there was speculation during
the
Academy Awards that Bradley Cooper and Gaga were together. Is there one more, or is that it?
There is, and I always like to keep up with The Weeknd, especially when he collaborates with Doja Cat. This is called In Your Eyes. I don't like this because it sounds like it came from 1989. Vibe. Exactly.
Yeah, see, I played a lot of music, so I'm sticking with. I just pretend that I'm in the dark. I would keep this on in the car if it came on.
Okay. All right. I think this is my third of them, my third favorite of them.
You know what? I think I can, you can turn that down. I can give you an example of songs I don't care for.
All right.
And because Carla has, you know, Carla's 20 years younger than I am. So she's got stuff on all the time. And when I hear,
oh, auto tune? Yeah.
You know, you need auto-tune to do that repetitive chord every time. Anyway, moving right along.
But, Mike, I do want to say this is a historic day because we have never until this very moment played DaBaby on the Mike O'Mara Show. Today marked the debut of DaBaby.
Good. Makes me feel hip. there you go. Thanks, Adam Merkley in Tempe, Arizona. We appreciate the mail. Fellas, I heard the discussion about ginger sodas and ginger beers for mixed drinks the other day, and I thought I'd share a recipe that I just started to use recently for making my own ginger syrup at home. It's a good letter on a Friday, isn't it?
Isn't that good? I love this.
Yeah, we have a babysitter tonight. We're going up to the joint that makes the gingery kind of stuff. Yeah.
Oh, have the outside DJ play DaBaby.
They don't have a DJ. It's Maine, for Christ's sake. Number one, chop up 8 ounces of fresh ginger. Put in a pot with 4 cups sugar and 2 cups water. Simmer 45 minutes. Strain once cooled. Add it to cocktails. And even I add it to cocktails and even make my own ginger soda by combining with soda water. I might just do that.
You should just do this.
I swear to God, I'm not poo-pooing this. I'm going to save this. That is awesome. Makes his own ginger soda. That's so over ice. It has a weird effect where it is cold and refreshing, then burns your throat like you just had some chili peppers. Hello. I love that experience. Keep it funny. Bill Fuller in Sacramento. Remind me to put that to the side.
Only reasons to stop by south of the border if you're traveling south on 95 is, or north if you hit it that way, they sell a soda there that's locally made called Blenheim's, and they have regular ginger ale and hot ginger ale.
Do you worry when you say or north that someone is going to send you a letter that says when Rob mentioned south of the border, he didn't correct himself and say, do you get like that vibe like you were going to get a wrong answer on a test? Is that why you tested so well in school?
No, I was just thinking that you can get to it both ways. You see it both ways.
Yeah,
but they actually have, if you get the hot ginger soda, it has hunks of ginger in it, and it does. It burns like Mexican food when you drink it. It's great.
And the thing with ginger soda, remember this, we found this out up here in Maine. My daughter did when she opened up last year's ginger. It doesn't age well. Ginger soda does not age well, so be aware of that.
Don't let it get guys, dark.
After watching the free cocktail show and dying from laughter over Carrie's one-liners, I decided to get a bonus show subscription and watch the second half. Sensational.
Love it.
I felt that I should write a letter thanking you guys for being the best gunkles.
Yes, that means gay uncle.
I started listening when I was 13, and I fell in love with you guys and the world you created every Monday through Friday. I didn't have a close relationship with my family, and you guys were able to give me a lot. What's that like? I didn't have a close relationship with my family, and you guys were able to give me a lot of life advice, and I learned how to laugh at the crap that life throws at you. I'm now a 21-year-old stoner in beautiful Fayetteville, Arkansas, who is openly gay and hoping to be the first talk show host turned U.S. president. So remember to vote. Thank you from the bottom of my heart, Trevor Myers. Hey, you know what? We used to have great numbers with openly gay stoners under the age of 25. I hope we can bring that number up again.
The sales department to sell at WJFK.
See? I crumpled it up.
You know, Jar, you're a crumpler. You're a crumpler. Oh,
I really want to do that. I'm going to do that today.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm not going to clean the garage. Anyway, Mike, Rob, Oscar, Maddie, and Reverb Pony. Reverb Pony, are you standing by? We didn't even know if you're here. Reverb Pony, come in. Reverb Pony.
Reverb.
Oh, he's not. I don't have reverb here.
He's in the control room.
Yeah, sorry.
Letter says, howdy, and thanks for getting... God, we're running so late.
We are.
Howdy, and thank you for getting me through the past few months. The main reason I finally had to write was because of a thought that has been stuck in my head for months that I wanted to share with you. Back around the first of the year, I recorded the documentary Love, Gilda, but didn't get a chance to watch it until the world fell apart. I needed a laugh, and Gilda always made me laugh. Love, Gilda made me laugh and made me cry and made me think about how few special people we have in a lifetime. I think that's a great example. She was special. And then I also started to think of your interns. In a lot of ways, they are like the not ready for prime time players. Sometimes you get a dub like Denny Dillon.
What's that?
Do we have a guy named Denny Dillon?
No. Denny Dillon was a dud on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, all right. I thought we had an intern named Denny Dillon.
No, she was a chubby blonde comic.
All right. I don't remember. Gail Mathias, season.
Yeah.
But then you have the standouts like Dana Carvey and Phil Hartman and occasional superstars like Gilda and John Belushi. When it comes to your interns, tell me there have been some duds. You know who they are. Then you have some standouts like Zoolander and Rob Ford. He wasn't a real intern on the Mike O'Mara show, was he?
No, I don't think he ever was. I think he just was like a buddy. Yeah.
Attached to the show. And I truly believe that you have potential superstars in Maddie and Dahlia. Well, Maddie's part of the family. We recognized Maddie's potential early on. Dahlia, people have been asking about her, especially with that explosion over in Lebanon. People are writing like Dahlia what might have been having a wedding in the middle of the dock when it blew up. But has she checked in at all? Has Dahlia checked in?
No, but she had
show?
No. She's when you were out a couple days ago, she was our talking head, and she's safely hunkered down in St. Louis with her family. She's fine. Mm-hmm. She's fine.
Okay. Way to save the best for me when I'm gone. You got Dahlia. You grabbed Dahlia without me. You selfish prick. Anyway, the comedy timing and delivery they have at
you
their young
age.
You
take the vacation and I'm selfish.
No, I want Dahlia on the show. I'd love to have Dahlia back on the
Anytime.
Show.
Anytime.
Was she good or was she...
she was great.
Had good days and bad days.
She was great.
As far as I was concerned.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
The comedy timing and delivery they have at their young age is truly special. I expect to see big things out of them. And in the future, just a thought I wanted to share. John Yingling. Y-I-N-G-L-I-N-G, not like the beer.
No. Right? I love the fact that you thought we had an intern named Denny Dillon.
Denny Dillon. Howdy.
Denny Dillon.
All Dillon. Right, I got to move. Yes. Last letter. Hey, team, I've heard Mike reference the Ellsworth Big Sandwich Shop a couple of times. Yes. Haven't been this week, though. It's actually called and known as simply Giant Sub by the locals. Well, Jesus Christ, if you saw the goddamn sign, you would know what the problem is. They've got Giant Big Sandwich Sub in their sign. I'll take a picture of it. I will take a picture of it.
It's like the Soul Train
and put
scramble.
It online this weekend.
You have to just pick out the right words.
In a broadcast, let me see, because it sounds like an industry you'd call out in a broadcast as Big Sandwich when discussing Subway or perhaps Cold Cuts. Incidentally, the proprietors also own Blueberry Hill. Oh, that's the ice cream place
see?
Next door. Mike's Moose Tracks go to on the same property. I'm such a fat ass. You all should check it out the next time you're up this way. Pointless knowledge, I know, but I wanted to pass it along. No, it's not to me. It's valuable. Plus, they're only a two-minute drive to from Timbertina's. Hope this helps. Love, TMOS. Ben Royal. Ben, one of the Royals.
Exactly.
Get it?
One of the Royal
That's
family.
It. All right, yeah. We got to get out of here. We got to take a break. We'll come back with more fun on the Mike O'Mara Show. A minuscule break. Sorry.
Right.
And then another commercial. That's just the way it goes sometimes.
Good
My
tease.
Apologies.
My fellow Americans, we are one people, and no matter where you are, we can all agree on the Mike O'Mara Show. Whether you are in Bangor, Massachusetts, or the island of California, from the majestic Alps of Australia to the beautiful castles of Germantown, coast to coast, from Portland, Maryland to Portland, Arizona, whether you are swimming in Lake Rushmore or climbing Mount Huron, sunning yourself on the Great Salt Flats of London, or gazing out over the Sahara Ocean, we all have TMOS to bring us together. We're one world. I just don't know how to find it on a map. God bless me, though, in America. And don't forget to conduct when they're playing the national anthem.
Thank you, Donald. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by GiveWell. Because of COVID-19, more people than ever need help. But you need to support the charities where your donation will really make a difference. Enter GiveWell.org. For over a decade, they've helped donors find the charities and projects that do the most good per dollar. The Boston Globe calls GiveWell the gold standard for giving. GiveWell researches charities and handpicks the highest impact, evidence-backed organizations. Plus, GiveWell takes no fees. I love this concept. Visit GiveWell.org, where you know you can make a difference. If you want to have an even more significant impact, donate soon. Any listener who becomes a new GiveWell donor will have their first donation matched up to $100 when you visit GiveWell.org/TMOS and select podcast and Mike O'Mara at checkout. This matching offer is good for as long as funds last, so get your first donation matched up to $100 at givewell.org/TMOS when you select podcast and Mike O'Mara, and we thank you. Got time for just a second here.
Baby break.
Oh, my God. I don't know what to do where I can't flap my gums. It's so frustrating. Oh, geez. You know, I got lots to talk about, and I don't have time to talk about it today. I really do. Okay, I'll do it real quick because it's okay. I've just started. Amazon last night, finally picked it. A lot of listeners recommended it to me. Started season one. There's a season two that's out now.
Oh, a new show for you. A new show to
started.
Binge.
Hannah. Anybody aware of it? Hannah, the show Hannah. It's
nope.
An Amazon show. Simple plot. Intrigue, spy type guy, gets chased by the bad guys, goes into a facility, takes a baby out. Of this like hyper secure government facility, takes the baby home. It's apparently his kid, but you don't know for sure because it's all these babies and their security guards, and he sneaks out, and then they find out where he is and they chase him and his wife, and the wife dies, and he takes the kid into the woods and raises her to be a super elite killer. That's
wow.
How it starts.
Any stars in it that we'd recognize?
Oh, no.
You see, sometimes that's best, though, especially if it's something fanciful like that. You're not got any predisposed notions of who these people are. So this is exciting. How many episodes in a season?
Two episodes last night. I'll probably knock out a few today.
But I've
got hockey to watch tonight. Capitals Islanders. So I'm going to try to see. Well, I have not watched
the Capitals
an NHL
are playing
game
at night.
The Capitals are actually playing a night game, 8 o'clock tonight. So it's great. I'll watch them, and I'll be watching them with a buzz on. It'll be fantastic. That's it. That's all the time we have. We have to take another break. When we come back, we will talk about something more interesting right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
John Lubbock, the noted philanthropist, scientist, and first Baron of Avebury, once opined,
"Art is unquestionably one of the purest and highest elements in human happiness."
Funding for the arts has dropped off exponentially lately. However, you can show your support and ensure your happiness by becoming a patron of the Mike O'Mara Show. For as little as $1 a week, you help support the mission of TMOS, providing snickers and giggles to those that get it. You won't get a fancy tote bag, but what you will receive is a chance to bring comedy into your humdrum existence during this pandemic. You also get the satisfaction of helping to ensure that celebrity impressions, MBA catchphrases, and antiquated references from the 1950s flourish for years to come. Just look for the patron tab at MikeOmeraShow.com to get started today. Invest in the arts, the comedy arts, by becoming a TMOS patron. Ensure your happiness by giving a little to laugh a lot.
Oh, that surprised me. Thank you. It's over. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. We talk about Cornerstone all the time. We have another listener testimonial.
Oh, good.
This is great. It makes me so happy because we have such a personal relationship with these folks down at Cornerstone. Here's the letter from Taylor and Allison Jenkins. Cornerstone First Financial is legit. We signed the closing documents on our refinance on Wednesday. Shout out to Tammy from their staff, who patiently worked with me while I took forever to find documents and email them to her. Also, I learned from Tammy during a phone call that the boss named in the promo is a stand-up dude who actively promotes a happy working environment for his employees.
That would
be Mark Livingstone.
Yeah,
that's awesome. And they sent a notary to our house for the document signing. CFF. I like that. Cornerstone First Financial.
Yeah.
Worth the money. Cornerstone First Financial. If you want to do it, the rates are amazing now. We've told you that. Here's the number, 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or online at cornerstonefirst.com. Think of this. At the level of the rates right now, you'll never need to refi again. That's it. So whether it's a purchase or a refinance, 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Be like those folks. Take advantage right now. Do it. Cornerstone First Financial. Personal attention from application to closing. Maddie Masiello, you told me, is traveling again.
Yes.
We've had Maddie so nicely sitting there.
She's bridge phobic, you know. She hates bridges. And we have one of the worst bridges in the world right here in the D.C. area.
Chesapeake Bay Bridge.
Exactly. Yeah. So what's your destination, Maddie?
Ocean City. I've never been.
So you'll be going over the bridge again.
Unless there's a way that I don't have to, but I think that's the only way.
That's the best way. And that's it. And you're leaving when?
Later tonight, but I'm driving up with a friend, so I already told her about this phobia. She's going to coach me, calm me down, read me stories. It'll be fine. This is like the most mental prep I've been able to have, because the other two times I've been over, I was just surprised. So right. I think it'll be okay. Last time I learned, if I just stick looking at the car in front of me, I could do it. So I'll let you know how it goes.
Are you going to stay at a friend's house, or are you going to one of the fabulous hotels in Ocean City?
One of the
The Coconut? What's the
Coconut Mallory. I don't know if it's still there.
The five-star hotel there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my old radio partner had a place down there, so we used to go down and didn't he live? He lived down there for a while.
Yeah.
My memory is so crappy. I forgot. But we used to go down there all the time because Don had family down there. And we did a broadcast down there.
We did a great one from the roof of a hotel overlooking the boardwalk.
Yeah.
And we had wireless capabilities. And I think it was one of the first times we did a walking food tour with me.
And it was fantastic.
Because we had mics with mic flags, we were breaking in line and going to the front and saying, "This gentleman is tasting food. Give him what you have." We paid for nothing. And I got fries. I got ice cream. I got everything. And I always said the same answer. How was it? Best I've ever had.
Now, what are you hearing about Ocean City up there, Rob? Are Are people still flocking down there? Is the beach scene still what it would be in a normal situation?
It's not what it would be in a normal situation, but it is more heavily attended than I anticipated. But remember, in like Memorial Day, they were down there in line without masks, not social distancing. People need their things. And Maddie, I just pulled up the weather for Ocean City over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. No, I've checked as well.
Yeah, a high of 76 and rainy. So bring your sunblock.
I'll be able to social distance inside because nobody else will be there. It'll be raining.
So hotel, house, hostel.
Hostel. When I studied abroad, I lived in hostels. That was quite the time. I'll never do it again. But we are in like a.
Good morning, Mary.
All right. Go ahead.
We are in, I think, a 3-star hotel that's called the Princess Something.
Oh, that's one of the biggies, I think.
Is it? Okay.
I think I know that one, right?
Yeah. So four of us in like a big suite room, I guess. So it should be okay. But yeah, it's going to rain the whole time, so we'll probably just stay in, drink, play games. That'll be great.
Which is all I need anyway.
Yeah,
that's
fine.
And go out and stick your toes in the water, whether it's raining or not. It'll be fun.
Yeah, just a little.
Get an umbrella.
Buy some taffy. Live it up.
Taffy? Is that a big thing there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Saltwater taffy. It's a huge deal at the beach.
See, it's called saltwater taffy because of the proximity to the ocean.
There's no salt water actually in taffy.
I hate taffy. I am not a taffy.
I'm not a candy person, so I'll probably just skip it.
Oh,
I know. So weird.
Wait a minute. Hold on. What did you just say? With Rob and Mike on the show, you're not a candy person?
No, not really. The only candy I like, which is like really ridiculous, is Ferrero Rocher with like the hazelnut.
Okay. And Jolene, right? Jolene, like, doesn't she sell? Is that a competitor?
No, she's Lindt, I think.
Oh, Lindt's great too.
Yeah. I think Jolene might sell that stuff. Oh, let me know if we insulted you. That's it. But you like chocolate, right?
I do like chocolate, but I like real chocolate. Like a Hershey bar isn't real chocolate to me. This sounds so pretentious. I don't like fruity things or overly sweet things.
Did you say a Hershey bar? This is such a controversial segment it's turned out to be. Yeah. Did you say a Hershey bar is not real chocolate?
No, not really. It tastes so like it tastes so artificial and just like way too sugary. I don't actually taste the chocolate.
It's my perfect chocolate.
That's
Hershey's.
That's terrible.
No. But what you should do is go to a good reputable taffy stand and get yourself some Anisette flavored taffy.
Oh, gross. No. Gross. Sounds delicious.
That's black licorice is what that is.
If you're going to eat at the beach, you got to get the, what are those crappy French fries? Thrashers. Yeah. Is there anything else down the ocean that she ought to get?
Well, she probably ought to go down and get some English's fried chicken.
That doesn't exist
anymore. And if you want to head up to Boardwalk, go to Phillips, and they got a big old restaurant there, and you can eat outside and get crab cake. Crab cake sandwich.
There, that's it. You're done. Well, have a good time. I want to review on Monday.
Enjoy the break.
Let us know what's going on. I hope all the lanes are open.
Oh, my God. Me too. On a Friday night. That'll be great.
Why are you going late? Why don't you go like you're done in the morning? Oh, you have to work late tonight?
Yeah, well, till 6. Yeah.
Till 6? Oh,
you can't put a cardboard cutout in the chair like they do at a baseball game?
Nobody else is here, so, you know.
Podcast Village humming along. That's good. Yes, that's good. I like to hear that. We'll take a break and come back with news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, Mike, speaking of candy.
This is Z Wants Candy.
Well, we should have something sweet.
She loves candy.
Airheads. They're sour. Sour Patch. The watermelon flavored ones.
Sweet Tarts.
Nerds. Black Licorice.
Shannon.
Good and Plenty. Chocolate.
A Hershey bar.
Peanut butter cup.
Mary Jane's.
Watermelon. I ate all of my favorite candies.
Don't worry, Peach. You can stock up on all your favorites through the Mike O'Mara Shopping Center. Click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hi, Peach. Brought to you by our bonus pack. Don't give me those big delays when you're doing these promos, listeners. I get confused because I think
Twitch.
It's over, and then you put it back. Oh, that's Twitch that did that, too?
Yeah.
He's become very prolific.
Yes.
It's Friday. Can you even stand it? Here comes the weekend, and that's quite a little bit of okay, because the weekend means the TMOS bonus show, and today's episode is going to be a legendary one. Oh, you bet. For the first time in bonus history, Maddie Masiello will run the board.
Oh.
Who knows what fun surprises await you?
Watch out.
Will she sing, crack wise, do one of her famous character voices? Perhaps she'll spill the beans on a classic Western New York political secret. There's just one way to find out. You need to get the TMOS bonus show. Let Maddie make you gladdy. Here's the deal, Neil. For just a pittance, you get the week's show, plus full unlimited access to every bonus episode of all time. No commercials, no censorship, no bull, and now with the tangy goodness of Duke's brand mayonnaise. It's an emulsion, don't you know?
It is. It is.
The Mike O'Meara Show bonus show, I guarantee it. And now back to Ruth Warwick as Phoebe Tyler Wallingford in All My Children, already in progress. You are watching the American Broadcasting Company. Oh, there's my thing. I get sidetracked. No, we're not doing Rob's take. I'm sorry.
Oh no. Okay, I'm sorry.
So sorry.
You teased it earlier in the week.
No, I know I did. I'm really, really sorry, and I know I'm going to piss people off. Your take is a regular news take. You know.
Okay.
We can make it. You know what? All right. Go ahead. Play your music.
No. Okay. All right.
And now, without further ado, it's time for Rob's take.
Rob's take.
A review and comment on the news of the day. As only our Rob Spiewak can do it. The views expressed by Rob Spiewak in no way represent the views of the Mike O'Meara Show, its listeners, or the right-thinking Americans of the United States. And now, Rob's take.
Rob, I thought you were going to call me a Polish bloviator.
Sorry about that. I apologize.
That's all right.
Rob, Fortnite is the biggest game in the world. Your son plays it, right?
Yes, he has played it. He's not so much into it right now. Okay.
This works for you. Yesterday, both Apple and Google yanked it from their app store. Here's the deal. Epic Games, the maker of Fortnite, intentionally picked a fight with the companies in order to file a lawsuit accusing both of being monopolies. It all started when Epic offered users a discount on in-game purchases if they made direct payments to them rather than going through the normal channels. That's against the rules because Apple and Google require payments to go through them so they can take a 30% cut. Epic knew that as soon as Apple and Google noticed, they'd nix Fortnite, so they had lawsuits prepared against both companies. They also put out a parody of an 1984 Apple commercial where Apple positioned itself as an upstart versus the evil big brother IBM. In Epic's parody, Apple has taken over the evil overlord role. At the end, it says, quote, Epic Games has defied the App Store monopoly. In retaliation, Apple is blocking Fortnite from a billion devices. Join the fight to stop 2020 from becoming 1984. Hashtag free Fortnite. This clash and the challenge to Apple's App Store rules was probably inevitable, and of course, it had to happen in 2020, the worst year in the history of the world. So,
well,
what do you think about
good
that?
News for all you pimple-faced kids that love to play Fortnite, because now you can rally behind something that matters to you. But let me explain this to you: the word monopoly has the phrase mono in it. It means one. And when you have two platforms that are carrying it, it by definition cannot be a monopoly because there's two of them. They're providing a service for you.
That's hair splitting. Because really the fact is they're the two biggest asses on the fence and they are screwing these companies. They're trying to get all the money. That's what Amazon does. That's what they try to do.
I'm sure that the people at Fortnite are doing just fine. And if they don't have something in place that can distribute the games as effectively, they owe them 30% because they're providing them with a service. But use the word monopoly, right? And also, the people that you're catering to don't remember that 1984 ad. They don't even know the book 1984. Try to stay something. Keep your message simple. If you're angry, sue them and be done with it. But
he's wound up.
I know.
I got to side with Apple here, even though you're
listening to Rob's take, ladies
and
gentlemen.
This is a Rob's take, yes.
Rob, AMC will open more than 100 movie theaters on August 20th, and to celebrate, they're offering movies in 2020 at 1920s prices on opening day, so each ticket will cost 15 cents. Why 1920? It's actually not a reference to the last pandemic, the 1918 Spanish flu. It's to commemorate the company's centennial. AMC Theaters was founded 100 years ago in Kansas City. The 100 theaters, roughly one-sixth of AMC's locations, around 300 additional AMC locations are expected to open over the following 2 weeks. Theaters will reopen in phases, beginning at reduced capacity. You're a big movie guy. What is your take on this?
Well, you know, you might not know this, but my great-grandfather owned movie theaters, owned the first talking movie theater in Carteret, New Jersey. And this 15-cent admission is not as big a deal as you think, because you know what? The money's not in the tickets. The money's in the concessions. And until they start selling 15-cent Hershey bars or Ferrero Rocher for Maddie, until they start knocking the prices down the concessions, they're going to make just as much money as they ever did.
What do you think about the opening of the theaters?
That's dumb. That's absolutely dumb. We've proven the fact in the past that now you can release direct to video or direct on demand and watch them in your home. People have pretty good home theater systems. It's not like the old days when we're crowded around a 19-inch screen. we're rushing this. We're obviously rushing this. And the fact that they're reducing the prices means that they're hedging their bets because they know that just releasing movies is not going to be enough to get people into the theater. They need to make it something exciting. But if you really, really want to go see a motion picture and put your life at risk, I wish you all the best. Wear gloves. Please wear gloves.
Thank you. You listen to Rob's Take, everybody.
This is Rob's Take.
For sports to exist in a pandemic, Rob, teams have put together strict rules to know who's around the players. They take it seriously, and one rookie learned the hard way. The Seattle Seahawks have cut cornerback Kima Sivirland. Sivirand.
Yes.
After he reported, he was undrafted, so I don't know the name.
Okay.
Kima Sivirand. He reportedly tried to sneak a woman into the team's hotel, and he really put some effort into it. He had her dress up in Seahawks gear so she'd be disguised as a player. He might have gotten away with it, but the scheme was caught on video. And as amusing as this story is, there's a lot at stake, and putting the team at risk will definitely come with consequences. Sivirand went undrafted out of Oklahoma State. I guess we know why. And
sure.
Got a $2,000 signing bonus from Seattle. There's no comment from him or his agent.
His lucky agent.
What's your take on that?
Well, he is truly a Seahawk, isn't he? The thing about him is that he must be really, really horny to have to... smuggle a woman in, but use a plot line based essentially from a Three Stooges short where he puts someone in the dress of an opposite gender and brings her in as a, she probably, you know what, maybe a kicker, but other than that, she probably didn't look much like an NFL player. My guess.
You're listening to Rob Spiewak's Take, ladies and
Rob
gentlemen.
Spiewak's Take.
Rob, Google's Google Lens app is adding a new feature that will let you point your camera at complicated math problems and it'll solve them for you. It's basically for confused parents trying to help kids with homework, and I have not, gotten it. Why are you shaking your head? What's your take on? I like this idea. If I get into the weeds, if my son was a fifth grader, I'd want to have that probably.
I think that they have teachers' helplines. They have virtual help on the computer where you can Zoom with teachers. You can consult with people. I was of an age when they used to put some of the answers in the back of the math book so you could check against yourself. I never cheated that way, but they were there. and so I think that what you're doing is you say you're enabling the teacher or you're enabling the parent to be able to teach the kid. Ultimately, though, you're making it easier for the kid to cheat. I don't think this is a good idea. And also, I don't think it's going to work.
All right. You're listening to Rob's Take.
And, Rob's Take.
That was his last take because this is my kicker.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not sacrificing it. A guy in Boston, Rob, met a 24-year-old woman named Selena Rivera Apodaca on a dating app earlier this week. She was in town visiting from Kent, Washington, and they agreed to meet in her hotel lobby on a Tuesday morning.
Nice.
After they talked for about a half hour, she invited him up to her room. Perfectly normal for a Tuesday morning date, I guess.
Sure.
But when they got up there, she pulled out a pink taser and told him to empty his pockets. He gave her about $100 and then left, and he told hotel security. For some reason, Selena just stayed in her room, so the cops found her and arrested her.
Nice.
My question is, did anyone check the taser? Because if it was pink, I'm thinking it might have vibrated instead of tased. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong, ladies and gentlemen. It's a clinker. We'll
it's
take
the
a break.
Only taser, Mike, that runs on D batteries.
And back in a second with the audio vault right here on the Mike O'Meara Show.
It's Tony and Gary.
Hey, boys and girls. It's me, Tony Perkins.
Hi.
And it's me, Gary Stein. Surprise.
We've done another episode of The Tony Perkins Show starring Gary Stein.
We talked to Tony about something that happened during the pandemic that almost changed his life.
We talk about that. We talk about Rob Ford's wedding. And we play a brand new game on this episode of The Tony Perkins Show starring Gary Stein. You can get it at TonyPerkinsShow.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
The Tony Perkins Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. Checking Robert W. Spiewak's feed. A picture of a shark, great white, breaching. So far, I'm very, very happy. I'm very, very happy. And then a picture of Fredo. It's just on there.
It's funny. I like to look at my dad's feed, and if you filter out some of the things
his
that we've discussed,
feed is great.
Earlier,
I love he his puts feed. Up,
I love if I know when he's like on a Friday afternoon, he's had a few beers, and he just starts posting songs. I love it. He'll do YouTube songs. It's great.
Oh my God! Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. I've got sad news, folks. I almost didn't want to tell you. But, oh boy. Oscar Santana was arrested earlier this morning for vagrancy.
No.
The Cape Cod police spotted him at a dimly lit patisserie on... And he was trying to trade his Google glasses and an iPhone 7 for a tiny cup of coffee and some Sour Patch Kids.
That's tragic.
Oh, God, how the mighty have fallen. Poor Oscar. Yeah. We hated to fire him. But times are bad. And sorry about that. I'm getting a call. Shut up. Anyway, please.
It's probably Oscar. He wants bail.
listen, if you want Oscar back, we need your help. Please visit the TMOS Patron Society. If you're there for us, we will be here for you, okay? Your support means the world to us now more than ever. We appreciate you, and we thank you. Oscar will suffer in prison. He's too pretty. He is, too. He's a pretty, pretty man, so help him out. Let's open up the audio vault for today. This is Friday. Is this August 14th? Is that where we are
now? It is, yeah.
All right, take it away.
Mike, you know what's so sad? Oscar got one phone call in jail, and you didn't answer it. That's sad.
I know. It sucks. It's very, very sad for him. We'll see. It's going to be a very, very crucial weekend for the show. Take it away, Rob.
All right. Anthony Michael Hall used to be important, right?
He was glad you have this audio. I watched the video.
It's great.
The video. He's such a non-celebrity now.
Well, he hasn't been for the last thing he did that was even remotely notable is got a lot of grief for being miscast in Saturday Night Live, I believe, in 1986. And that was a bad move, Lauren. That was bad. He was pretty good in Edward Scissorhands as the dumb jock, but that's where it ended. He was very good in 16 Candles, but keep in mind, this is 30 years ago that this guy mattered at all.
And now he's really known for kind of wigging out on people, and I guess he's done it more than once.
Right.
The most recent one was down like in... what, Austin, Texas?
Mike, that's where all the big Hollywood stars vacation, in a hotel in Austin, Texas. Apparently, he showed up at the pool with his wife and a very loud Bluetooth speaker that he was playing his music loud, and as they said in the news report, a jug of something. And he was being sort of a jerk, and he went off on people at the pool.
Or me. So kiss my ass, okay? Because Eddie and his mother and his German father don't give a shit. Neither do I about all three of your opinions. So kiss my ass, okay? You know what? Save your opinions.
You need to
You know what? I don't give a what you think about me, Rosie O'Donnell. I don't give a I don't give a what you think, okay? I don't give a what you think, or you think. So kiss my ass, okay? You're insane for disrespecting me, okay? Because you're out of line.
You're insane.
You're out of line. And their family is unaffected by you and your bullshit attitudes. F*** all three of you. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm crazy. Kiss my ass. Film me.
Film me.
Yeah, good. I got you too, okay?
That's how this hotel.
You're so nice. Show up to the Democratic Party. Kiss my ass. You are too small to get the f*** in my way. Get on my way, Mike. Sir.
Let's go.
Bro, you all three are out of control, and you're disrespectful.
Disrespect. He has since apologized.
I heard Mike, let's go.
Yeah.
I like a buddy of him, right?
Yeah.
That's trying to get him out of there.
And I love the fact that Anthony Michael Hall's friends call him Mike. Hey, Mike, let's go.
Can you play it again, please?
Sure. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So
I want to
kiss my ass, okay?
Because
Eddie and his mother and his German father don't give a shit. Neither do I about all three of your opinions. So kiss my ass, okay? You know what? Save your opinions.
You
need to I don't give a You know what? I don't give a what you think about me, Rosie O'Donnell. I don't give a I don't give a what you think, okay? You think, or you think, so kiss my ass, okay? You're insane for disrespecting
standing
me,
in a pool.
Okay?
In a pool, yelling and pointing.
You're out of line. And their family is unaffected by you and your bullshit attitudes. F*** all three of you, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm crazy, kiss my ass. Film me.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, good. I got
flipping
you too,
off.
Okay?
That's how this hotel. Asking you to calm down. You need to calm down.
Show up to the Democratic Party. Kiss my ass. You are too small to get the f*** in my way. Get on my way, Mike. Sir.
Let's go.
Bro, all three are out of control, and you're disrespectful.
Mike, let's go.
Sir,
Mike, let's
bro.
Go.
Please. That was me at my family reunion a couple of weeks ago.
Standing in a pool?
In a pool.
Fully clothed.
Really cold pool.
Okay. Mike, sometimes I have to play a tape because when I name it and put it into my computer, I see the words as read by disc jockey Scott Shannon.
Okay.
This is a cat licking a harp. And I'm talking a big symphonic harp, like a 7-foot harp.
Is the cat doing it to make the sound?
It looks to me like they might have put something on the harp. I don't know. Okay. Like maybe tuna oil. But anyway, right. that is a cat
tuna oil.
Licking a harp.
By the way, if you want to make stir fry this weekend, I recommend the tuna oil. Try it. It'll be delicious. It'll be
the hard part is squeezing the fish.
Face. That's Maddie's first so gross face that I've got. That is tuna oil. This is really good. What is that is just fantastic. Your complexion looks better than I've ever said. What are you using? Tuna oil.
Tuna oil. Yeah, absolutely.
By the way, if you really want to prevent those UV rays from damaging your skin, I recommend the tuna oil. Put it on your legs.
Yeah. Oh, at the beach, Maddie.
Yeah. Tuna oil. If I get stung by a jellyfish.
Where did you come up with tuna oil?
Oil, don't you know that like if you get a can of tuna, it's either packed in water or oil. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the way, the Speewax, the tuna that comes in, do you pack it in water or oil?
We pack ours in bacon grease. How close were you to St. Petersburg in Florida?
2.5 hours, 2 hours and 40 minutes.
They've got a huge soccer stadium there that almost rivals an NFL stadium. I mean, this thing is big. It's got all the seats. It's got the luxury boxes. But of course, no one's playing soccer because of the pandemic. Right. They went in and they found that a homeless man had been living there for 2 weeks in a luxury box.
It was clear that someone had been living there. There were blankets. There were personal items like shaving cream and things that someone had been using. This man had been walking around, going to the merchandise store, wearing the merchandise, and going where the food is kept, and really just made himself at home in the stadium.
I'm all in. Good homeless dude.
Wearing the merchandise, he looked like that Seahawks girlfriend.
Wearing the merchandise in St. Pete. Why not? That's initiative. That is initiative. Nobody pays attention to the stadiums. Maybe a little message for the other homeless people out there. Not a bad deal, right? Head over to FedEx. Why not? Go for it.
The luxury box. Send up another six-pack of Bass Ale, please. Who is this?
Or wear a helmet just with the burgundy and gold number on it.
A number. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Mike, I close with this. I saved it because I know you want to start your weekend with Luke Bryan. He smells great. Did you know that?
Jeez, you are, you know what? You are obsessive compulsive. My God, Luke Bryan, to end the week, you're standing by this decision?
All right, no Luke Bryan. How about this?
No, go ahead. Play your Luke Bryan. And you can play an extra one. We'll go along. Go ahead.
He got taught how to smell good by Keith Urban. Keith Urban taught him how to smell the best.
Keith Urban taught me like this. Just take a bunch of Tom Ford and just blend it in the air and run through it. Keith Urban crushes my smell, by the way. He smells a lot better than me.
Can you imagine backstage with those two necks smelling
such a
each
diva
other?
Too. You know, he does that whole folksy thing, but he's a diva.
Of course he is.
He crushes
is.
My smell with my special little.
Gonna put some Tom Ford in the air and run through
good.
It.
Very good. Is that it?
I have one more for you. They broke a world record this week. A Minnesota woman was able to spell backwards faster than anyone else in the world. She could spell backwards 56 words in 1 minute, and she is now the world's fastest backwards speller.
That's it. We got to get out of here. I was really impressed with her, though.
I was going to say S-S-E-L-E-S-U. That's useless, spelled backwards.
But the thing is, okay, she can do that, a nice little accomplishment, but how about getting a microphone that can record it properly? You know, they didn't think that one through when they were studying backwards spelling. That's the
Guinness.
Thing about it. But
F you, Guinness,
do?
And F you, Luke Bryan, and that cat, and the tuna oil.
Tuna oil. Our thanks to our talking head today, brilliant lady, Kira Schuster, who was an absolute delight to have on the show. And thank you, Mike Scheinberg, for turning us on to her and her to us. We appreciate that.
Many years
ago. We love our talking heads. If you want to be one, just contact Rob with 2 B's at MikeOMaraShow.com, and you could be the next talking head. We've had some wonderful conversations with our listeners. That's turned into be one of my favorite parts of the week. I absolutely love that.
I love it.
Take care, and Oscar, maybe be back on Monday. We're not sure if he can get out of jail. We'll see you then. Maddie Masiello, thank you very much.
Thank you guys. This was
Pony great. Boy Matt Bloom, thank you. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Thank God it's Friday!
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Good morning!
It's been a good day. My God, what a good day for mankind.
Well, I don't get rain, man, cold, but they're...
Bye-bye.